Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Do we have Brian Kamenetsky online?
We do.
Yes.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
We just had a whole conversation about MCs. By the way, it is Juneteenth, commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States, especially this year. Day has huge meaning. Nationwide protests demanding an end to police brutality and demanding racial justice and demanding criminal justice reform and all that stuff. So today is Juneteenth, and we're mindful of that today.
So we have Let's Talk to Brian about. Brian filled in for Sedona today. And, Brian, are you doing the dance party hoedown drunken jacuzzi show tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's a Friday night, that's what we're doing. So, yeah, I'm earning my money today.
You're doing a triple shift. You did Sedano, and you claim that you invented a new bit.
Yeah, what I think anytime Ramona hosts,
yep,
somebody should be clipping things that goes along, and then the last segment you do something called context-free Ramona, where you just play sentences and things that she said. Like today, she just very enthusiastically announced, "It's booty day." And like, without the context, it made sense in context, but
yeah,
without it, it's even better. So
yeah.
I just feel like, you know, you could absolutely, like, 3 hours of Ramona, you could have two or three segments.
Did hear part of the show today, and I know that Ramona claimed that she was cool as an 11-year-old because she wore her clothes backwards. Is that what,
like Chris Cross?
That right?
Exactly. Like Chris Cross did. Yes.
Not cool.
I was going to say, I don't think Ramona is, number one, I don't think she knows the coolness of 11-year-olds, if that's what she's saying. Hey, Brian, you, on top of all of that, of all those things that you're doing on the radio,
mm-hmm.
I read today, I'm hoping this was your article, I'm going to give you full credit if it wasn't, should the Lakers explore DeMarcus Cousins article in The Athletic.
That was me,
you?
Yes.
Okay.
That was me.
So a couple questions about that. Did you just write that, like, because it popped into your head, or you have reason to believe that it's actually something that's being considered?
John, are you asking me if I've done any, like, real reporting on this issue?
Right, or is it just speculation?
Oh, it's 100% speculation.
Okay, but I liked it.
Reporting? Come on.
It was interesting, and you pointed out a couple of different things that, you know, number one, he was effective when he played for the Warriors last year.
Yes.
But also, he had played a little bit before then. In this case, if the Lakers or any other team would sign Boogie, and I know I can report this, Brian, I know they love him. They, like,
yes,
he made a huge impression on them, and he's very well liked in that building. Now, they don't have a roster spot, so, and you pointed this out in your article, but it would be a risk for any team to sign him because we haven't seen him in a game, right?
Right, absolutely. And, like, look, I think it's one of these things where the speculation is around there enough. And nothing, I asked a few people who have been a little closer to this, like, do you know anything? And the answer is no. Nobody seems to have any particular insight on two things. First of all, whether or not Boogie is healthy enough to actually go play. It'll be about 12 months, give or take, since the injury by the time the playoffs would roll around. And generally speaking, an ACL, that's right there in that timeline of when a guy could return to action. In some cases, it's a few months after that. So that part of it, in theory, he'd be okay. But then you got to ask, like, would he want to play?
Right.
Because, you know, he had the Achilles, the quad tear, which kept him out of the playoffs for most of the playoffs last year, and then the ACL. And if he gets hurt again, who knows if he can even get back to the NBA. But let's say those two things are he wants to play and he can play. The Lakers have, like, really would have a decision to make because I don't know if you guys disagree, but, like, this feels to me like this pandemic tournament feels to me like a place where weird stuff is going to happen.
Yeah,
guys are
right.
Going to get hurt. Strange things, like, you know, so in the playoffs, you always want to have as many options as you can anyway in terms of matchups and this and that. And Boogie Cousins gives them a center who, even if he's not the all-star version of himself, is a very skilled passer out of the high post. Can score a little bit. You have to scout for him at the very least and account for his presence. And he's very different than Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. So I think in that regard, he'd be really helpful. And then just as another body, like I would probably release Talon Horton Tucker, the second round pick from last year that they really like. And he played well in the G League this year. But that guy's not going to play a minute in the playoffs unless things have gone horribly wrong or horribly well.
So let me ask you, Brian, what are the rules? Can anybody sign DeMarcus
Cousins?
And
if he's an unrestricted free agent, yes. People get confused because, like, a lot of times, you know, you make a trade and then you release a guy, like, and they become a free agent that way, or they're bought out or whatever it was. That's not what happened here. He was a rostered member of the Lakers. The Lakers released him. That was for Markieff Morris to make space for him. And he cleared waivers. And now he's just an unrestricted free agent. He's a guy. Anybody could go out and sign him. And it made no sense, obviously, to keep him around when we all thought the season would be ending this week. But, you know, now it's going to end in October, so it would make a lot more sense.
Well, you left out an eventuality there when you said that in order to sign him, they would probably have to move off of Dion Waiters or Talen Horton Tucker. The more obvious thing would be if Dwight Howard decided not to play, right?
Right. I'm assuming that he will. I mean, if Dwight decides not to go, then they have to go sign a center.
Yeah.
Like, they have to get someone. And in that case, you might find somebody else. You might take somebody from the G League or whatever, because then there's a risk in then having to rely on Cousins in that way, unless you know he can handle it. But I am going to assume, whether it's Dwight or Avery Bradley or whoever, that these guys are going to play until we hear definitively that they're not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it would be particularly in the case of Dwight. And I understand his heart is in the right place and he's spoken to really important issues. From a basketball perspective, I think it would be a disaster for the Lakers if he didn't play.
It wouldn't help. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why people would decide that it's not worth it to go play in that. And Dwight, beyond the questions of racial justice that he's obviously thinking very hard about and is very passionate about, you know, he did an interview with the local media in May where he talked about not being able to really get into a frame of mind for basketball because he has a 6-year-old son whose mom passed away in the last couple months, and he's been caring for that his son, and like the idea of leaving and going to Disney World and being quarantined there for 3 months perhaps, like, yeah, that's a tough thing in this. So there are a lot of reasons why Dwight or anybody else would pass on the chance to go to Orlando.
Brian, where's your level of confidence that these sports are going to go off as planned? I mean, Mason and I were just talking about it. We do a story every day about football, whether it be college or pro, and it's an intersection of football and coronavirus, and none of these stories are positive. They're all like, today Clemson had 28 guys test positive. UCLA is threatening to, they got players saying they don't feel safe, and they're threatening.
Yesterday, Texas had a bunch of them.
Are we assuming
facilities? Today two of them were shut down.
Two Major League Baseball spring training facilities shut down today. Yeah, I mean this is going to be really tougher than. That's why I think NBA's got the best chance of pulling it off.
And I agree.
Because of the bubble, NBA's got the best chance of making this work. I think the other two sports, I mean, baseball deal aside, flip a coin. It's going to be very, very tough to get through this thing without impact from COVID-19.
Right, and football, despite the fact of those helmets, did you guys see the mock-up of the helmets that they might wear with like the masks and like everybody looks like they're from Halo. They're terrifying, and so like the idea of being chased down by Aaron Donald or something with a guy wearing that helmet, it would haunt your dreams. But we spent the beginning of the week making fun of all these rules that the NBA was laying down. Down to everything like no doubles ping pong.
Sure.
If you play with a deck of cards, you have to like throw them out when you're done. And now you see why. And it's incredibly restrictive because if you do anything else, it's not going to work. Like the cases in Orange County, Florida, where Orlando is located, are going up and up and up and up and up. And so like you can't let these guys out into the community because somebody is going to come back with coronavirus, and that's the reality of it. So if the NBA is going to do it, it's going to be because of this very strictly enforced quarantine.
All right, we've buried the lead here, Brian. Most importantly, has anybody usurped my record for viewership on the late night show.
Yeah,
have I been
John,
have I been me, passed?
Yeah. Now, the important thing is for this in all eternity, I'll look at the numbers here while we're talking. You outdrew Steve. Now,
yes.
Granted, you pulled out some gimmickry.
Yeah.
You partially.
And I would do it. I would do it again, yeah. Brian. Frankly,
I'm
but
not,
who
pa- I'm not
who passed me?
Which parts?
Who passed?
Let's see. A lot of people, actually.
Oh, really?
yeah.
Well, that's a low ego.
People. Yeah, sorry. But again, none of them.
I'm kind of like the Sammy Sosa of ratings. I had it for like 30 seconds.
Well, actually, you know what? It's not a lot of people. But
I'm assuming that the show has gotten more popular, and that would be why John has passed. Is that correct?
Or based on your episode, yes. You were sort of our inflection point where society discovered us. Paolo Uggetti from The Ringer.
Lost to Paolo Uggetti?
I question the metric. Who is Lana Berry?
Lana Berry is a friend of Molly Knight's, is sort of a social media presence.
Wait a minute,
John,
fan.
The metric is really clear. It says the metric right on.
Right.
Yes, I think it's
Tanya Ganguly of the LA Times.
Oh, wait a minute. So your ass, Tanya.
Has it?
Om Young Masuk.
I did not lose to Om Young Masuk.
You did.
You lost to Om.
I want to return.
I would not get all cocky here, Steve, because remember the list of people you lost to is longer.
Yeah, but I helped you start your show. I mean, I was one of the founding members of the late night drunken dance party.
That's true. You're on our Mount Rushmore.
Brian, when am I coming back? When is the next available opening?
The next available slot is Tuesday.
Who's on tonight?
Shea Cotton. You and John, you
oh,
know
wow.
Shea.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
I watched that. I watched his movie. The brand new documentary about him. What's that? What's it called?
What is it called? It's his nickname. My mind is not
well,
what
yeah,
it
you,
once
you've
was.
Worked 17 shows today. Hey, yeah. Would it be possible for Mason and I to be on the show at the same time?
I'm working on something. Like, we're working on being able to get two people on. It is possible, but I have to just figure out how to make sure.
You know what that is, Brian? Two words. Ratings bonanza.
Man-child. Yeah, man-child, the Shea Cotton story. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're having Shea on tonight. We are tentatively scheduled to have Byron on Monday.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
So that'll be fun. And we're working on a spark, an LA spark.
Wait.
So we got that.
I thought you were working on spark.
Well, no, you got. There's only two sparks that can get you the big numbers. You should get either Candace or Shanae.
I can't tell you which spark we're working on.
It's either Candace or Shanae.
We're working on sparks. So I mean, we got things. We got things.
Or Fish. Derek Fisher could get you a big number.
Well, that's cheating, though. Like, to go to the sparks people and say, hey, we want Fish, is really like a backdoor way of saying we want a Laker. So I mean, that's disingenuous.
So after you get on your little run of guests, after Byron, after your spark, then can you put you can't put me and Ireland on together because
I think let's plan for that this week. I'll talk to Carlo and we'll get it set up where I think if I do my show, if I do my thing through my phone instead of the computer, we can have four people on and you and John can appear at the same time.
And we will
break
every record.
I can do any day next week except Friday. I can't do Friday, but I can do any other day.
Let's plan for Thursday. This is, by the way, exactly what we hoped, is that people would want to come back, but then would feel compelled to come back out of pure ego. That's exactly what
competitive
we were
nature.
For.
Well, I can assure you,
against us.
Brian, I can assure you 100%. That's the only reason we're coming on.
Of course. Well, no, you both had a good time. People enjoy themselves.
Hey, by the way, since we're talking about stuff, the all-time record-breaking Culture Pop podcast was with John Ireland. In a really deep conversation. Tomorrow I'm doing one with George Sedano. So we're going to go deep with George Sedano.
I am unfamiliar
tomorrow.
With his work.
Yeah,
I'm confident that he will not eclipse my record.
He may. I don't know. George is willing to talk about stuff. He's willing
I will
to
say,
go there.
Steve, you
What is there for Sedano? Unless he comes out tomorrow and shocks the world, he ain't passing me.
He says he's going to go deep. He says he's going to go there. So we'll find out exactly where
I know what it is. What if it turns out he's not actually Cuban? He's from like Latvia.
I don't think it would be Latvia. I think you'd have to go south of Latvia, but let's see. We'll leave it up to George.
Carlo is listening. He says you can definitely have everybody together. So let's do that.
Wow. Okay. Nice.
Does it work for you guys?
Yes. Totally.
Well, good.
All right. Excellent. This Thursday, 6 days from now.
Yes. What day is that?
Next Thursday.
What day of the month? Like, what is that, the date?
It is the 25th.
The 25th.
Start promoting this now. This is huge.
Okay.
We're going to turn your little internet venture into a show.
Wait a minute. Mace, would you rather do Tuesday or Thursday?
Let's do Thursday. Let's let them have their spark first.
Okay.
No, the spark won't be until after that.
Oh, okay. Let's do Thursday.
All right, Thursday.
I'm all in. All right. B-Camp, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next for you, headlines. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. It is time for headlines. John, what do you got?
All right, Mace. Frustrated with his contract, New York Jets All-Pro safety Jamal Adams has informed the team he wants to be traded, according to ESPN. The Jets have no intention of trading him, sources say, but Adams could try to force their hand by being disruptive, staging a training camp holdout, something like that. Adams is upset because he feels the team is dragging its feet. If you were the Jets, would you trade Jamal Adams?
Teams have an awful lot of leverage, John. I believe he's going to sit out the year? Is that what he's threatening right now, that he would not play in 2020?
Right. I think he's basically going to pull a Jalen Ramsey. Remember, Jalen Ramsey just made it incredibly negative for him to be around the team, so Jacksonville basically said, all right, go home, and they traded him. I think that's what Adams is hoping for. He's hoping for the Jalen Ramsey scenario.
Well, first of all, he was a very high pick. I'm not sure why the Jets wouldn't pay him. And he's a hot commodity. There are a number of teams, Seattle among them, New England possible, and Tampa, another team that's interested. I'm not sure why they wouldn't sign him. But I would try to get into the season and figure out exactly how he's going to react before I decide whether to trade him. Remember, Jalen Ramsey didn't get traded until the trade deadline to the Rams. Jacksonville did what they could to try to make him happy. So
I've always kind of subscribed to the Jerry West philosophy. Jerry West always said, if you don't want to play here, I don't want you around. Michael said when he got traded to the Lakers, Jerry West said, hey, Michael, welcome to the Lakers. We think you're going to be a great addition. By the way, I tell every player, if you no longer are interested in being here, come to my office and we will get you out. I think it's important that somebody buys in. And Jamal Adams is clearly no longer bought in. I would trade him and get what I could for him. I'm the opposite of you on this.
It's an issue of dollars and cents. I mean, the Jets, if they don't pay him, they may have no choice but to trade him somewhere where he will get paid. But I would try to get into the season and see if I can work it out. All right. The Detroit Pistons have hired Oklahoma City executive Troy Weaver as their new general manager. The ninth black general manager in the NBA. That's three GMs to come out of Sam Presti's stable of executive talent. Rich Cho in Memphis, Michael Winger with the Clippers. What do you think of this hire?
Love it. I thought Troy Weaver would have been a GM by now. Guys like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook swear by him. He's been in Oklahoma City for a long time. I know the Clippers talked to him and tried to get him out of there. It didn't work out. Detroit is interesting. You have Blake Griffin if you can get him healthy. You could build around that. I'll be anxious to see what Troy Weaver can do. I'm just going to take off any pretense here. I think it's the right time to hire a black general manager.
Sure,
I think it's smart.
Sure.
I just think it's a sign of the times that people are listening and that they get it.
Also a really talented guy. I mean, I remember arguing that he should be one of the candidates to be considered for the Lakers head coach, general manager job. So, yeah, it is about time he got a gig. And that talent, Rich Cho in Memphis doing a great job. Michael Winger with the Clippers doing a really good job. I think Troy Weaver is going to be great for Detroit.
All right, Mace. This is a very interesting story out of the University of Kansas.
Okay.
Now, before I read it, Steve, what do I, John Ireland, think of the NCAA?
That it's the most boneheaded organization in sports.
That they're a bunch of pinheads who deserve to be broken up, right?
Yes, right.
The lawyer for Kansas basketball coach Bill Self says he's going to sue the NCAA. Self and his lawyer are going to sue the NCAA. The NCAA hit Kansas with five level one rules violations, including the dreaded lack of institutional control. Self personally was hit with head coach responsibility violations and could be suspended for an entire season under NCAA rules. So basically, Bill Self is trying to get them before they get him. Self's lawyer, Scott Thompson, has an interesting strategy. Here's what Thompson says, quote, "To put it bluntly, the NCAA enforcement staff is attempting to end Mr. Self's long and successful coaching career for conduct which all coaches engage in and which the NCAA has known about for many years and is commonplace and permissible," end quote. So the lawyer is basically admitting Self cheated, but his defense is, so did everyone else.
Right.
The NCAA probably screwed this up. They screw everything up. But Self probably cheated, too. How do you think this whole thing ends?
It ends in a very long period of litigation. Bill Self, he's got to be careful because he's suing a giant. He's suing, you know, a multi-billion dollar organization, the NCAA, and they can paper him to death, as they say in legal terms, and make it really hard on Bill Self. At the same time, I think while litigation is pending, Bill Self probably keeps his job. So I would imagine that this is a years in litigation situation. It is interesting that Self has basically acknowledged his guilt, and he's using the cover of a lot of other people. It reminds me a little bit of Lance Armstrong.
Right. The whole sport was doing it. What did you expect me to do? Yeah.
So, and he's absolutely got a point. But I would imagine it's gonna take years of litigation to figure it out if, in fact, Self goes ahead with the lawsuit.
Well, and just like kind of going back to a point you made earlier, isn't this kind of smart by Self? By tying it up in court, he might stave off the punishment. He might get to coach for a few more years.
I think as long as the litigation is pending, he's going to continue coaching. And I mean, what age is Bill Self?
Oh, I don't know. He's got to be 50.
So he's got a long career in front of him. Yeah. I mean, eventually it's going to catch up to him, and there will be some sort of legal injunction.
Lindsay, look that up. How old is Bill Self? I'm guessing 50. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Penn State University is considering a change to its pregame national anthem ceremony, under consideration keeping Nittany Lion players in the locker room for the anthem, which would then deny them the right to kneel for the anthem, which many people believe that they would. Is this a violation of their First Amendment rights?
They're college students, so I'm
still
not...
Still have First Amendment rights.
I don't know if it's a violation of their rights. It's a privilege to play college football for Penn State. It's not a right. They control what happens inside the stadium. It's a great question. I don't know I would think they're free. It would be, okay, so let me flip it on you.
Yep.
If you and I actively protested while we were on the Mason and Ireland show, while we were on ESPN's air, and ESPN said, knock it off, don't do it during the show, is that a violation of our First Amendment rights? So we didn't do anything obscene, but we protested openly about something we felt strongly about. They could tell us to knock it off, couldn't they?
They could, although isn't this a different scenario? I mean, what they're really doing is they're taking something that's happened for over 100 years, playing the national anthem before the game. And because players would likely kneel as players will across the country this year, high school, college, and professional, because they might kneel, they are taking away that opportunity from them. I think it is a violation of their opportunity to express their feelings about social justice, and I hope Penn State doesn't do it.
I will say this. I don't know if it's a violation of their First Amendment rights or not. I think if you're an employer, you have the chance, or in this case, if it's your home field and your stadium, you have the right to set it up any way you want to. But I think it would be stupid. I think Penn State would come off as petty and not very progressive. You know, college students, you know, for the most part, are learning their rights and their ways of the world. And that's where, think about it, Mace, that's where most protests have started on college campuses. For them to just say, no, not doing it, and let's say the entire rest of the Big Ten did do it, I think Penn State would come. I think it's a bad look for Penn State.
Well, you know what they say? You know what James Carville says about Pennsylvania? It's Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Alabama in the middle. Penn State University is right squarely in the middle of Alabama. By the way, so is my birthplace, Altoona, Pennsylvania. That is Alabama in the middle. I think they will get pushback from fans if they allow kids to kneel, and that's why they're going to these extraordinary steps.
All right, are we done? We got time for one more.
I think that's it.
Okay.
All right, coming up next for you, the story out of UCLA today that is making news.
Weird.
30 players have signed a document saying that they are concerned with their health protocols at UCLA, and they don't trust Chip Kelly's program to take care of them. That's coming up next for you, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. That's where we're at right now, guys. We're at their mercy. Funch, we're on. I know we're on, Funch. Thank you.
Okay, wait a minute, Mace. We may have breaking baseball news.
Uh-oh. Good news?
Not necessarily. Bill Shaken. Source. Major League Baseball has told the players that the league isn't going to move off 60 games for the length of the season and isn't going to offer a counterproposal to the 70-game offer the players made yesterday. So, I think that means either 60 or 48, right?
60 or 48, that's exactly what that means. In other words, 60 games, which is the Major League Baseball latest offer to the players, or a mandated 48 games from Rob Manfred, which is what a lot of the owners want. So this is when push is coming to shove right now. I mean, or players, you got a choice. It's either 60 games, full prorated salary, or 48 games prorated salary. Which one do you want?
Well, why would they do the lower number?
Well, that's the question. In other words, the deal they made in March, MLB and MLBPA, is that if they couldn't reach terms on how to come back, if they couldn't decide exactly what a season's going to look like, then Rob Manfred would have the opportunity to mandate exactly what the season would look like. And Rob Manfred has indicated that his owners want him, if in fact he has to be the guy that calls the shot, they want a 48-game season. Now, that will also mean, because of the agreement in March, that players would have to sign off on this 16-team playoff plan, and they would not, which means we would have a traditional playoff as opposed to expanding things. So now we make it even larger. It's 48 games with the regular playoff system, or it's 60 games with the expanded playoff system.
And the way this would play out would be the players reject the 60-game season. They come out, and they already have, to be honest. They said, no, we don't want that. Here's a counter, and they offered 70. The players would reject it. The owners would then impose a season, which is how you would get to the lower number.
Correct.
But the threat of a lawsuit would still, or of a grievance, would it be wrong to use the word likely?
Yeah, I would say it's likely. That was the other part of the 60, is that each party would hold each other harmless and they would not file a grievance. The players have indicated that they would file a billion-dollar grievance in the event that Rob Manfred dictates a 48-game season. So that's the other. So now let's add to this. because we've got two sides of this now. It's either 48 games, regular playoffs, and billion-dollar grievance, or it's 60 games, expanded playoffs. Now, I don't know why the players wouldn't agree to 60 games and expanded playoffs.
It's more money for them.
It's more money. It's based on dollars and cents. You want 60 games worth of money or 48 games of money? This is it. This is now squarely on the players. Do you agree with that?
I do, and I don't know what we'd be waiting for either. I think they should respond by the end of tonight, don't you? I mean, why hold it up any longer than you need to?
Yeah, Bill Shaken, that could lead to the MLB owners imposing a season of whatever length they choose, perhaps as few as 48, no decision yet, but length of schedule could be at the discretion of commissioner under March 26 agreement. Yeah, that's exactly what we're just saying. So, this is it now. It's go time for players. And by the way, if it's 48-game season, you've got a little bit more time to play with. In the case of a 60-game season, you almost have to be in spring training next week. You almost have to be in spring training by the end of next week to be able to get a 60-game season in. That's how close they're cutting this thing.
Right. I think we're going to – there's no way we go on the air Monday without a resolution of this. Right?
No, we're going to know something one way or the other. Either there will be a season of 60 games, there will be a season of 48 games. Actually, that's it. There's no way there can be no season.
Is it possible we could know by the end of the show today? We're on for two more hours.
We're on for two more hours. Yeah, it's possible. Although, you know, Tony Clark and the Players Association is going to have to throw a hissy fit first. they're going to have to make it sound dramatic, and there's no way we'll do it. I mean, I would imagine they're gonna put up some amount of resistance to this thing before they ultimately say, yes, baseball doesn't do anything the easy way. All right, coming up next, we'll keep you up to date on that. Coming up next for you, we will have that UCLA story, 30 players signing a letter that went to the UCLA athletic department indicating that they're not comfortable with health protocols as administered by Chip Kelly's program. We've got that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It's Friday. It is Juneteenth, by the way, and we've been talking about that today. We had Ryan Clark on a little bit earlier. Scary incident for his son at a fast food restaurant in Tempe earlier this week. You know, this is a really, really powerful day for African Americans. Juneteenth commemorates the ending of slavery in the United States. And, of course, this year has huge meaning after the death of George Floyd and so many others, and nationwide protests demanding an end to police brutality and demanding racial justice, demanding criminal justice reform and all that stuff. So Juneteenth, it's actually also known as Jubilee. It's a positive holiday. It commemorates the ending of slavery in the United States. So I don't know if you say happy Juneteenth or not, but it is Juneteenth today.
What's interesting about it is they declared an end to slavery, and that was 2 years or after, two or 3 years perhaps, after Lincoln declared slavery was over.
Yeah.
It still took 2 years to get to Juneteenth.
Yeah, for word to get to Texas, which is apparently the farthest outpost of slavery, it took 2 years, and it got there on June the 19th, 2 years after the emancipation.
All right, so this UCLA story looks like a mess. 30 players, including the quarterback of the team, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, have signed a document saying that they feel unsafe. They don't feel like the current coaching staff has their backs health-wise, and they want a third party put in there to help them determine whether or not it's safe to go back amid the COVID-19 virus.
Yeah.
Now, Mace, as happens with these things with college students, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is backpedaling.
Yeah.
He just tweeted, would like to state that Coach Kelly agrees with all the demands on our letter and is working to get them in place. As a player whose name is the face on the cover of the article, I apologize to Coach, as I was unaware the letter would be given to the media for them to mislead. Well, what did you think when you wrote the letter?
Well, wait a minute. Go back to the beginning. Go back to read the first part of that.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Just reread it because there's something really important in there. The coach has agreed to those conditions.
Coach Kelly agrees with all of the demands on this letter and is working to get them in place.
I mean, there you go. This was a successful form of protest. It sounds like Coach Chip Kelly is going to allow for an independent health representative to be at practices to make sure that health protocols are kept. It sounds like none of these players will have it held against them, which was one of those things that the letter asked for. And the third was whistleblower protections. If somebody wanted to call the administration and say, hey, this isn't right, this is going on. If Chip Kelly is meeting these demands, that's a positive. Then that letter absolutely worked.
All right, here's Gus from Brentwood wants to talk about this on the phones. Hey, Gus, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Mr. Ireland, Mr. Mason, thank you very much for taking my phone call.
Sure, Gus.
It's a great day. It's Juneteenth, and it's also my birthday, so thank you very much for taking
my
phone
call. Hey, happy
birthday, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. What I wanted to touch base was that it's kind of odd and sketchy that this UCLA story, whether it's backpedaling now or not, is that, you know, with Clemson having all these players coming out testing positive and the University of Texas players coming out testing positive, but yet all these programs are still open for business. It's like, when are coaches and everything like that going to come out and organizations and schools and everything going to come out and publicly say, hey, this looks bad, but at the end of the day, the safety, health, and wellness of our players, our student athletes, is primary. It's number one. It's priority to us. You know, I don't hear this. I don't hear this by any organization or by any college that is out there saying, look, we are addressing these things. These people are special to us. Whether or not they put millions of bucks in our pockets, we care for them as humans and we want to see the best for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are having this sentiment right now, and I'm not sure that it's a bad idea what the UCLA player suggested, which is having an independent doctor at practices to make sure that everything is handled per protocol. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there's not going to be an easy way to do this, especially with football. The NBA, I have some level of confidence that they're going to be able to execute the remainder of the season and the playoffs. As far as football goes, I mean, your basic job is to eliminate any social distance between you and the player that you're trying to tackle and the player you're trying to block. So I'm not sure how football is going to work, either at the collegiate level or at the pro level. But you're right, players have every reason to be concerned and to stand up for themselves here.
Hey, Gus, I'm curious. Do you think we're going to see college and pro football exactly the way they're laying it out, or is it going to be different, or we might not see it at all? What do you think?
You know, 3 weeks ago, I would have said it's going to be without fans. Today, I don't think we'll see it at all.
Interesting. Yeah, because they haven't even pivoted. Thank you, Gus, for the phone call. We appreciate you reaching out. 877-710-ESPN. Mace, they haven't even said no fans like the other sports. They're planning on fans.
Yeah, no, they are. Now, USC, I think we said that earlier this week. USC put season tickets on sale, but they also indicated that they don't know how many people will be in the Coliseum or how many people or whether there will be fans at all inside the Coliseum. So I think we might have jumped to a conclusion earlier this week. There's not necessarily guaranteed that there are going to be fans at the Coliseum for USC games. I don't think we're necessarily at that point yet where that decision needs to be made, but they are allowing for either no fans or a lesser capacity in addition to a fuller stadium. So Yeah, these guys, here's the problem, John, and we put in a call to Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner. He's going to come on in July 2nd. But the problem, I think, is that there's no uniformity between all these different universities and these five Power Five conferences. It doesn't seem like they're all on the same page. It doesn't seem like they have a unanimous set of health protocols. Everybody seems to be going it alone right now. And this is where, by the way, the messed up NCAA could actually get its act together, sit down with the five Power Five conference commissioners and figure out exactly the best way to move forward in terms of safety protocols. So far, it doesn't seem like they've done that. Everybody's going on their own.
Right. And like, for example, we talked about this earlier in the week on the show. USC is scheduled to play Alabama in one of those neutral site games at Texas Stadium, Cowboys Stadium, in the first week of September. If you're going to play that game with no fans, why make both teams travel? It's no fans. There's not going to be a home field advantage anyway. Flip a coin and make just one team travel. It just doesn't. It seems like the NBA seems to be doing all the things. They know that some of these rules look weird, but they're just doing everything they can to be as cautious as possible.
Yes.
Football's doing the opposite, it seems to me. They don't seem to have any safety protocols in place.
Well, and you know, the one thing that scared me today was that the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Phillies training facility in Clearwater, Florida, there were five positive tests amongst players and three more amongst staff. There was a guy at the Toronto training camp who started showing symptoms. He hasn't been tested yet, but he's got corona symptoms. This is all Florida is where the league is going to be. I mean, this is where we're going to have the NBA, and it seems like it's a hot spot right now for coronavirus.
They've had record numbers of cases over the past couple of days. And, the only thing I would say is that the campus is going to be Dr. Fauci has signed off on the NBA's plan.
Right. Well, this is why I talk about you laugh, but this is where I talk about the integrity of the bubble. The integrity of the bubble must be kept. You can't have somebody wander out, get coronavirus and infect everybody else and potentially screw up the league.
Yeah, but you know they're going to try and figure out. Some of these guys are going to try and figure out a way to get girls in. You know.
Yeah, honestly, John, it's unbelievably irresponsible. You've got a chance. You potentially can bring the whole thing down by bringing coronavirus into the bubble.
Yeah, I hope they don't do it. But I think it'd be naive to assume that nobody's going to try and attack the integrity of the bubble, as you put it. I think someone's going to try it.
Do you think that nobody learned their lesson from Rudy Gay and just being like, or Rudy Gobert, and just being like, hey, I don't want to be Rudy Gobert 2.0, so I'm not going to be that guy to chance it?
Because
I feel like he's always going to be known forever as the guy
he will always be known as coronavirus guy. And the guy that went out and touched all the microphones and joked about it before testing positive. That will be, by the way, have you seen him lately? Have you seen Rudy Gobert?
I haven't.
He has lost an unbelievable amount of weight.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he is he's worked his ass off during this break.
I've heard that about Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic too.
Let me correct you. Djokovic is the tennis player. Jokic is the basketball player.
Jokic, yeah, Joker. There are some guys that have taken this really seriously as an opportunity to get ready for the rest of the season and the playoffs. So I think that's going to be one of the big tests as we move into a playoff scenario is how hard has everybody worked? How hard have you let it slide? Or have you worked really hard during the break? It's going to be a really interesting test. Do you have that piece of Bill Simmons sound, Funch? This is Bill Simmons on his podcast was talking with, I think he's talking with J.J. Redick. Is that right, Funch?
Yes, he was.
And talking about the fact that the Lakers may have been working really hard during this break.
What are you expecting when the season actually comes back just from people's games? Like, have you heard there's all this L.A. rumor right now, and I haven't been able to crack it, of all the Lakers are playing at some rich guy's house, and it's all like, you know, nobody talk about this. And but have you heard about like different rumors and what teams are doing and all that? Are you expecting people to show up out of shape? What do you think?
All right. So in regards to the Lakers, I've heard similar things. Obviously, nothing has been posted on social media supplying us with the evidence that we need. But there is a gentleman, I think his house is in Bel Air.
Yes.
Who has a Staples Center replica in his backyard.
Yes.
It's a full court, locker rooms, weight room, steam shower, whatever you want. I've worked out there before. My assumption is those guys are working out there. That would make a lot of sense.
He gets great stories for his friends at cocktail parties, like
no doubt.
A year and a half from now. Like
no
hey,
doubt.
Just FYI, remember the quarantine?
Yeah.
So that's what's in it for him, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, but look, I never played for the Lakers. And like, you know, you've seen videos of like a couple summers ago, Chandler Parsons was in there a bunch. John Wall's
okay,
been
yeah,
in there.
You get,
like, guys,
you get
if they're in
you
LA,
get the
that's,
idea.
That's
you
one
get
of the gyms
idea
that we can have access to as players.
Yeah, you get the idea there. So the Lakers may have been working really hard during this break. I don't know anything about mansions in Bel Air, but it sounds like they may have had a very good place to work out and to stay sharp during the break.
Yeah, but like JJ said, there's no evidence of them doing that. And individual workouts are one thing. I'd be surprised. Well, I don't know. I don't know anything. Why do I know if they did organized workouts? But.
I don't know. I'm going by what Bill Simmons said.
Yeah, I mean, but Bill Simmons is a Celtics fan. Let me just put it that way.
Meanwhile, actually, I'll hold this. I'll hold this. Meanwhile, did you see what Kyle Kuzma did?
No.
Okay. I got that coming up next for you. Plus, we will circle back to the biggest stories of the day. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.